This live broadcast of the Petersburg School Board meeting is brought to you by KFSK and Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, helping clients find out how to protect any valuable asset, from stamp or teacup collections to houses and boats of all sizes, and everything in between. Plenty of information from the local agents is available. Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, 772-3858.
I'll second it.
Okay. Motion's been made and seconded. No changes. I think we had just an addition, right? Old business, do we need to add that?
No, it's just a different motion.
Okay. Okay, all those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes 5-0. Student representative report.
All right, so I meant to write something down, but I've been super busy. The wrestlers just came back. I don't know how they did. I actually meant to ask Brandon, but they did okay, says our activities director. As for the girls' volleyball, they got third place in state, so good job to them. Other than that, I don't think there's anything sport-wise going on. We have hallway decorations, which is just something that the kids are doing, which we moved the date that we're going to start judging, which isn't too exciting. And I think the juniors took the work keys today. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like I said, I meant to have something written up, but that's all.
Good. Thank you. All right. Correspondence. You want to just
I think so.
Okay. We received a letter from the Associated Teachers of Petersburg. We agreed on renewing their contract for 3 years, but we would have need to negotiate the salary for this following school year and the next one. They worked out nicely last year just because we were at the unknown of the budget cuts and what was happening at the state, and so they sent us a formal letter to open negotiations in January, which is pretty standard, and we'll be beginning that in January with the negotiation team and get going on that. So. And then any other correspondence?
I think there was a letter submitted. Mm-hmm.
Yep. We received a letter from Dr. Rob Thomason, who is the retired superintendent here in Petersburg, and also 2014 Alaska Superintendent of the Year. And so he asked that we read this at the board meeting. Written December 4th, 2015. Dear Superintendent Clint Painter and members of the Board of Education, through the Petersburg pilot, I have followed the Petersburg School District Memorial Policy discussion from afar for several months. This is a difficult issue with strong emotional connections. It is impossible to conceive of the pain involved in losing a child. Then to relive it all again as a memorial policy is debated reignites the pain. The Jake Madsen Memorial was unadvisedly taken down on my watch as superintendent. This was an error in judgment by staff. It should not have happened. The memorial was returned to its original location pending development of a district policy regarding memorials. The board and the superintendent must be commended for their forward thinking, proactive desire to have a clear memorial policy in place to guide the district in the future. When one does the research, one finds that most school districts, large and small, have a memorial policy. To grandfather an existing student memorial counteracts the very purpose and intent of the proposed district memorials policy. As one who has intimate firsthand knowledge of Petersburg School District's heart and soul, I am confident everyone in the school district has the best interests of all students, staff, and families, past, present, and future, deeply rooted in their hearts on this issue. The policy consideration process has been conducted in an open, transparent, and appropriate manner. As with any public policy, it's difficult, if not impossible, to please everyone. Petersburg is fortunate to have a Board of Education and a superintendent who will not shrink from their duty to make the tough call and move forward in a consistent and positive manner. Sincerely, Dr. Rob Thomason. Now we'll move on to any other correspondence. I think that was it, right?
The two.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Comments from the audience unrelated to agenda items. I would say it was very enjoyable to have the awards assembly earlier for the kids that have done a fantastic job in their different activities. Comments from the audience related to agenda items.
Did you have something I'd like to say?
Sure. Come on forward, and if you can state your name, so the public who are listening will be able to hear as well.
My name is Mackenzie Taylor, and I'm here representing myself. I'm here once again to discuss the memorial policy. My hopes are that the board will be willing to hear suggestions and comments in order to determine the correct policy that will work for this community. I have heard input from both sides, and I can understand some of the concerns of the community members, as well as the board members. I don't see how a collaboration and compromise won't work perfectly in creating a proper and fair policy. There have been many suggestions on how to handle this policy. The board president during the last meeting said that she thought the community memorial for children lost too soon would be a great idea. I fully support that idea. Could the board not write a clause into the policy stating that when a community memorial site is established for children lost too soon, the memorial could then be moved to that site? Until then, leave the memorials where they are. That way, the memorials which were dedicated to the community, as well as the family and friends, can still be seen publicly. Another suggestion that I've heard that I think would be a great alternative to removing the memorials altogether is moving the memorials to in the school to one central location. It is to my understanding that one spot discussed was the staircase into the auditorium. Again, I think that would be a great compromise. All the memorials can stay where they are and still be accessible to the community. There have been rumors stated that the family does not want the memorial back. Where that information came from, I do not know. The family never once said they wouldn't take the memorial back if the board so chooses it must come down. The reason we are fighting so hard for it to stay up is because it was dedicated to the community, not just the family. My sister, Jessica Jensen, wrote a letter to the board. In her email, she also included the superintendent, high school principal, guidance counselor, and dean of students. Three replies are worth mentioning. The first was from the superintendent, whose reply stated, and I quote, "Ugh, will this never end? ?" Along with some really cute death emojis. The second reply came from the guidance counselor, which stated, "Right? ! My goodness, these two responses clearly were meant for the family to see, but they did. Can you imagine how disappointed we were in these two professionals? The whole point in tabling this policy till this meeting was so that the powers that be could hear community input and take suggestions into consideration, but clearly some people involved just want to sweep this under the rug. The third reply was from board member Megan Lister. She stated, and I quote, "I'm doing some legwork this week, so I have something to suggest Tuesday. I'm also open for input." That's the kind of response we've been wishing to hear. People who are willing to work together for a common goal. Thank you, Megan, for all your hard work. My hope is that the board will take into consideration suggestions from the public when making this decision. Though after seeing some responses, it doesn't seem promising. I know the policy has been on a lot of people's minds and that it is making some uncomfortable to see the other parties involved. In my opinion, if you can't look at the other party or family in the eyes and say everything that you're saying in these meetings, you must not be confident in what you're saying. Actions can speak louder than words. I truly hope none of you ever have to experience what it's like to lose a child, and that the decision you make is in a sincere attempt to compromise so that the community memorials can still be enjoyed by the community. Thank you.
Thank you, McKenzie. Would anybody else like to speak? Okay.
I would like to address the school board members, superintendent, community members, and those listening at home. I'm here to speak in support of the memorial policy and recognize the difficult decisions you have made and many hours you have spent on this. I'm a lifelong resident of Petersburg and a relative of Stacy Mattson. I'll never forget the day that Jake passed and the anguished look on Stacy and Ken's faces. I would never wish this on anyone. I've not lost a child, and unless this has happened to you, no one can say that they understand. I cannot imagine the ongoing grief that the family must endure. I also remember the grief of the students as we sat in the commons that night and many days after, surrounded by staff, mental health providers, and various pastors trying to comprehend this tragedy. When I first heard about the memorial policy, I was not convinced that it was necessary. I listened to both sides of it and did some research on the issue. Most mental health professionals advocate the temporary, not the permanent, memorials to be appropriate. Also, placement of memorials is important, so that it is a choice to view the memorials rather than a daily occurrence. I have been sincerely disheartened by some of the responses that I have personally heard, read on social media, in our local newspaper, and through the grapevine. The personal attacks on members of our school board and superintendent have been beyond hurtful. I know most of you personally. I know that you have spent countless hours on this, that you would not purposefully try to hurt anyone, and that you are working toward what is best for all parties involved. Rick is unable to attend tonight, so as the wife of the boys' basketball coach, I would like to speak on behalf of the coaching staff. At the time, the coaches, Rick Brock and Mike Payne, and the team members wanted to help in the healing process and show respect at that time for Jake and his family. The intention was for Jake's memorial to be placed in the gym until what would have been his graduation date, or until his sister Becca graduated. After that time, it was going to be given to the family. If I remember correctly, around that time, the administration discussed taking the display down, but it did not happen. In hindsight, the time of Jake or Becca's class graduating would have been an appropriate time for that to take place. The intent was not to leave the memorial up indefinitely. This gesture by the teammates and coaches was heartfelt. These same people who did this and sat with these kids as they mourned have not forgotten Jake or his family. Taking down the memorial does not mean that he is no longer important or that they no longer care about the family. I strongly believe that our school staff, administration, school board, superintendent, principals have not lost heart, and that we do truly value our students and that our students feel valued by our staff. There are many people I've talked to that support our school board and for various reasons are not able to speak up. My hope is that my words will help you all feel a little better about your decisions. It is also my sincerest wish that the family and friends of Jake Madsen realize that you have not taken this lightly, that you have looked in-depthly into all concerns presented to you, that in fact it has been tremendously difficult, and that no one wishes any hurt upon them. Again, I would like to sincerely thank you for all of your time and energy you have spent on the memorial policy, and all the other work you do to make our school one of the best in the state and a place the community of Petersburg can be proud of.
Thank you, Michelle. Is there anybody else that would like to speak? I'll go ahead and read. I had a staff member text me at about 6:15 this evening and asked me to read the text, requested to remain anonymous. I need to respect that. Written testimony on the memorial policy. I understand the need to grieve the loss of a loved one, and I can't imagine the loss of a child, no matter the age. The need to memorialize and celebrate a child's life is healthy and part of the grief process. That said, as a parent of school-age children, I feel that their school environment is not the appropriate place for permanent or large memorials. The focus is on the learning and their future, God willing. I would feel better if my own and or my loved one's memorials were someday placed in a beautiful outdoor setting rather than an educational environment of students. I recommend that the board continues with this well-researched and reasonable policy while the community continues discussions of memorials outside of the school, such as a park. Thank you all for your time and efforts to do the best for our kids and their education. Okay. If we have any other, we can also, during the open time during while we discuss the policy, that can be also an opportunity if anybody feels they would like to speak at that point. So, all right, comments from any board members as we move forward this time? Okay. Moving on to the consent agenda. I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I'll second.
Motion's been made and seconded. I can't remember, Sharon. Should we call? Yeah, please call the roll.
Lauren McCormsky.
Yes.
Jay Lister.
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren.
Yes.
Cheryl File.
Yes.
Megan Litzer.
Yes.
Okay, motion passes 5-0. Next, administrative reports. We'll start with Superintendent Clute Painter.
Okay. So it has been a busy month. We have finally received the AMP test results. They are in. Finally, the actual hard copies, so we'll be mailing those out actually the beginning of next week. I think we have a letter that we'll attach to that. Parents will get those. We've also been doing a lot of work with our teacher evaluation system and getting out in classrooms and working with that, and I think it's going fairly well so far. off and running. I don't know if people have been following on the news about the new reauthorization of No Child Left Behind, but that is all happening right now, actually even as of today, another vote, changing to the Every Student Succeeds Act. And we'll see how that's going to be implemented in the state. Lots of changes, lots of shifts of decisions back to local districts and to the state. So we'll see all the details of that as it comes out. Also, governor's budget coming out soon, and I don't think the numbers are looking fabulous, so we'll get to spend some time talking about that, I think, in January. So I think that's it for me.
Okay. Thank you. Maintenance report. Maintenance director, Van Kate.
This afternoon, Rand McIntosh, corner meeting, so I'm working on my report to the board this evening. He goes, do you have a problem with public speaking? Does it bother you? Do you get concerned or scared? He said, you know, I'm not a great orator, and I don't really mind speaking in front of crowds or even on the radio, but what I do find difficult is finding something interesting to tell you about maintenance. This month, I do have something new. So I'm sorry I didn't make it to your board packet, but I dropped this off for one question to you. What we have in front of us is the Department of Education and Development came out with the Capital Improvement Project rankings for all the applications that were put towards them. So there were 98 applications throughout all the school districts. We did really well in the numbers. So there's a lot of stuff here. So if you see me going on and on about a particular little detail, it's time for me to move on into the signal. We'll get through this pretty quick, I think. The first sheet I'd like you to look at is one that has the school rankings on the side and then, of course, the dollar amounts to the right. There's one that's very similar to the rest of the schools. We'll talk about that quickly in a moment. What it shows is we came in number two throughout the state for the Petersburg Middle School, High School Primary Board of Education. That was our $75,000 project that came out. We paid for that and had that boiler put in last spring. It's up and running. This is not to be confused with the boiler R&R or renovation that we had as number one for several years that the legislature never funded. The good thing is that they did fund it for this year, and Superintendent Clue Painter and Director of Finance Quitzlin and I did all the final paperwork for that. And we should have about $26,000 coming back. It has been right?
I think it's, yes, actually it was finalized.
Mm-hmm. So there's a nice talking point right there. So we finally have that project put to bed. Moving down the list, our food service renovation project dropped to number 11. A little disappointing. It's my understanding that we might have been the first school district ever to put in a kitchen renovation project. And if you look at number 10, it looks like Matt Nicotla corked us by one. And and this is their first year putting that one in, I believe. Going down the list, the gym LED lighting upgrade that we also funded ourselves came in at number 17. The nice thing here is there's a lot of pages, but we're done after page two. So we got all of ours in the top 27. Number 24 was the middle school concrete entry renovation project, and number 27 is the underground fuel storage tank at the middle school. And I'm just going to speak on that one for a moment. That was a little bit disappointing. That's the $173,000 project to replace a single walled underground storage tank that's over at the middle school. It's been in the ground for 30 years. Is it in danger of rupturing and having a fuel spill? I think not at this point. It does have a corrosion protection system in it, which is somewhat compromised, but we do not have any indication of water or anything like that in our fuel. I'm just going to put it out there. I think this is something that we as a district or maybe the community are going to have to look at really hard and try to fund ourselves and then look for reimbursement from the state down the line. And that's a subject we can bring up at another time. But I'd just like to point that out at this point. The other important number on this list goes back to the first page. If you go to item 11, our food service renovation project, if you look at the right side there, it says aggregate amount. In order for us to get our food service renovation project going, about $34 million has to be paid out by the state this year, and I think we all know that probably won't happen. But I think it might be likely that we might see the reimbursement on our boiler. So we'll just have to sit tight and see what the legislature does on that. So moving on to the second one, it talks a little bit about the point totals. I'm not going to go over every column that's in this chart, but what I wanted to show you highlighted on the right side, and that's just to shows you how tight the race is for the top 11 projects. Between number one and number two, Cake put in for a boiler replacement, and they got number one. There's 1/16 of a point between our two projects. And as you go down the list, of course, and not everyone has it in front of them, but three and four at 209 points, and then 203, 201, 200 points. When you finally get down to us at number 11, our project, the food service renovation, 194 points, about 18, 19 points off of the top project. So it's really tight, and every point counts. If you look at the rest of our projects that we have on there, the gym LED light, that's 29 points off the top. Petersburg's concrete entry, 37 points off the top, and then finally the underground storage tank, 38 points off the top. So even those top 27 are pretty close. Doesn't take many points to get up there. Moving right along again, this chart right here shows our point totals for the last 3 years. And I wanted to show you that we have been making some really good improvements in our scoring on these applications. If we start, and I should point out I'm colorblind here, so if I point out the wrong color of coding that I put on here. I believe the first column is pink and it says planning and design points. If you go down to the bottom of the chart, it says fiscal year 2014. And then in the middle we have fiscal year 2016. It could actually be 15 and 16 because we reused our applications in 2016. So the point totals are the same. And then finally I have this year's point totals at the very top. What's important about this is you can note that back down in 2014 at the very bottom, we only got 30 points on our Petersburg exterior wall renovation. That's the Stedman remodel that we did 2 years ago. That's because we took the time and effort to hire an architect to plan and design that project for us. And the state takes that very seriously. That's where they can look and say, this is what needs to be done and this is what it's going to cost. And that really pays off for a lot of these projects. Going up, we learned that lesson in 15 and 16. You can see we got all 30 points. And then you might note that in 17 it dropped to 25. Well, what they did there is they've actually revamped their scoring, and they 25 is the top for that particular category this year. They determined that it's not fair to some of the less affluent school districts who maybe can't afford to have all this design work done. So, and it's a stretch for us, too, to be quite honest, but it's our best bet at getting some of these major points that we need. So moving on to the green where it says condition survey, it's kind of the same story. What we need to have done every 5 to 7 years is have a condition survey done of all our buildings. That's where they crawl through the bowels of the school and they look at our foundation and they go right through our HVAC systems and our plumbing right up to the roof, and then they put in a full report for us. And that way the state knows that we're trying to keep up with the life average of each component of our schools, and they take that very seriously as well. And you can see that our point totals have basically increased from 2014, where we were getting half the 10 points, 5 points, and then the last few years we've gotten all 10s. Well, there is a discrepancy there on 2017. We got 8 points for two of our projects, and I think that is a discrepancy. I might have to check on that. Moving into the yellow areas, this is one thing I should have pointed out about the process is it's also part of it's objective with formulas and facts, and the other part is subjective. And I end up writing a lot of reports about how we do business in the Petersburg School District. And the yellow areas are the reports that I write. And it describes in great detail how we go about planning our custodial program that I've talked about that I'm working on, and how our maintenance management plan goes, and how we look at energy and how we manage that. You can see that in the early years we got barely half the point totals, and we steadily increased up until this year. We got 4.67 out of possible 5 points, so we're moving up in that area. Then finally, over in the blue areas, that's where they look at the cost estimate for the project, and some of those numbers come right out of the architects again, and they look at a cost-benefit analysis. That's that project versus operating costs. And again, I'd like to show you that throughout the years, we've learned our lessons, and we're trying to maximize our points wherever possible. So the last thing I threw in there was just to give you an idea of some of the things that I have to go through to get these CIP applications together, and this is just a small, minute portion of it. It shows you a report for the renewal and replacement schedule. I do one of these for each of our buildings. This one happens to be the VOTEC building. And it shows us, like I said, all the bowels of the school. And it kind of projects out when things are due, from doors to windows to the roof to the HVAC system. And then when we get in with 6 years, it kind of projects out a cost that you might have to plan for. On this particular one, it's saying that in 4 years out, we need to do something with interior floor finish. Floor finishes within the VOTEC building. And that number is inflated way too much, because what they don't realize is most of that building is concrete floor, and we don't have finished floors. But that's something we would take up at that time. I threw in a couple of our fuel summaries for you, because that has been kind of near and dear to our hearts lately. The first one is for Stedman Elementary. It shows 2014, 15, and 16, and I just highlighted October for those 3 years. Look how much we've dropped. The 2014 is before the renovation, 2015 is the first year of the renovation, and then 2016 is what we're doing now. Some of it has to do with the weather, some of it has to do with proper management of our fuel and our boilers. So. And if you look at the high school, the same story is going on over there. We don't have the new building, but we have proper maintenance management, and we also have a new boiler, which is helping an awful lot. So you can see where it went from $20,000 in fuel in October 2014 down to $13,800 last year, and then so far this year, $7,845 in fuel. We watched that very closely for all of you, for our community. I threw in one of my narratives. It's not very exciting reading, but if you want to look at it later, go right ahead. I'm not even going to talk about it. And then just a couple charts that I have to prepare for the state CIP project, or excuse me, applications. This particular one I thought was important because it shows scheduled maintenance versus corrective maintenance. And this is the preventive maintenance that I do versus the call for help because something broke. And if you look at the very bottom line where it says percentages, most months you'll see that 80% of the time we're doing scheduled preventative maintenance, and only about 20% of the time we're doing corrective maintenance for problems that have popped up. So that's how we take care of your schools.
Awesome.
Thank you. Still a lot to do, still a lot for me to learn as your director of maintenance, but I'm enjoying the position, and I appreciate the opportunity to serve you.
Thank you very
Thanks.
Much.
Thank you.
Any questions?
Go ahead, Sheriff.
I just have a clarification for people. Our district food service renovation, it's not just for one kitchen, it's for two kitchens. For in the middle, the elementary, and into the high school. Just thought I'd say that.
That's a great point. Thank you for bringing it up.
Thank you.
All right. Principal's report. Principal Terry Tyler.
Good evening.
As you can imagine, there's a lot of magic and fun, and that is just amping up every day as we march toward our Christmas break, and so it's a lot of fun in our school right now. I just wanted to mention our Veterans Day Assembly, and congratulations our student body for the way they handled themselves, in that they were very respectful, and our student council did such a nice job in participation, so I just wanted to recognize them. Also, during our conferences, we had a very good turnout, and I need to thank our families for making sure that they come and participate in our conferences. It's very important, and we have a huge amount of support from families, and it is deeply appreciated. Our school is looking a little different now. We now have Mrs. Cena Warhatch greeting people as they come in the door, and Mrs. Littleton is still there helping her along, but that is gradually becoming less and less. But we are so lucky to have these two wonderful ladies helping us out, and they're a hub of the school, and appreciative of Mrs. Littleton and her years of service, and just excited for Cena, and know that she's just the perfect match for us. So we had a DARE graduation last night, and it was fun to listen to the kids and their responses, and essays about the program, and a big thank you goes out to Officer Pop for the time that he spends working with the kids, a 10-week program where he's there each Friday, and the kids love it, and it's a very good program for them. We had a pie meeting tonight, and just want to invite members of the community and families to come and join us in that. We're working on a winter ball, so it'll be lots of fun. If you're interested, please let us know. We're continuing work on social studies curriculum and beginning our science curriculum. It's a big task for elementary teachers. We go from one curriculum to the next each year, but that's coming along fine. And as Superintendent Clute Pater mentioned, AMP scores will be coming home to families. And the last thing I'll mention is that we're having our school sing-along on Friday, December 18th. And so we're anxious for the kids to participate in that. Okay. Thank you.
Principal Rick Dunner, Middle School High School.
Times. Near the holiday break. Today actually was one of the busier days, probably the school year, especially in the high school, just with the way things worked out. Lots of visitors. All the juniors and other students that missed it took the Workies test, which is the group of the college and career readiness assessments. Thanks again to Ms. Setcher for her work. Bridget Whitstock, our district test coordinator, put a lot of time into that. But that's for all juniors. That is a piece of the ASPE score when they start using that again once we get through AMP. And sorry, it's lots of acronyms and such, but you've been doing this for a while, so I know that you're getting what I'm saying. But again, very successful, very smooth. We love that. Again, it is something the state requires. In fact, to get a diploma in the state of Alaska, you do have to have taken one of the college and career assessments, an SAT, ACT, or Workies. And so we got the Workies out of the way. We will, early in March, also take the ACT for all juniors, too. So it's just another one. They serve slightly different purpose. The Workies is more kind of the comprehension and some different skills and locating information, whereas we know with the ACT and the SAT kind of have a more specific, different purpose there. So moving along, that's great. Also visiting Monday and Tuesday, and I don't know, hopefully some of the parents were able to see or are benefiting. Hopefully soon we had the ProStart trainer coming down. ProStart is a culinary arts curriculum. It's something we've invested in a couple years ago using Perkins funds, and something Ms. Lindley has been working on a little bit. They actually do a ProStart competition. We've been so close to sending a team where you go up and you actually do the kind of like those MasterChef type of shows where you cook something fancy and it's judged and all that type of stuff. And anyway, it's pretty cool. So we had a trainer down and the kids were making. I was fortunate enough to get to sample some. Thank you for Shade Cook for bringing that by. It was fantastic, but pretty cool little cucumber ringed. Some couscous and had shrimp around it and mint, and it was pretty fancy. It was pretty awesome. So really neat. And again, all the kids in there are doing different techniques as far as cutting the vegetables and cooking and stuff. So pretty cool. It was fun to stop by and see. And thanks again to Ms. Lindley for getting that going. It's neat. Good stuff. As mentioned, social studies and science curriculums are going, and again, as the elementary says, it is just an ongoing for them every year. For the high school and the middle school, you know, we have teachers that do teach multiple subjects. For them, they delve so deeply, though, into one subject, it's pretty interesting. I was able to pop in with social studies today. The teachers were getting some time to work together. Just really cool, these people that are really just masters of this particular subject area and have studied it and been teaching it, especially with the experienced staff we have. It's pretty cool just to see the, as they're digging, they're reworking it, and they're finding new ways to assess and new standards to look at, and been working a lot with different curriculums from colleges such as Stanford, UCLA. It's just a pretty neat process, and really appreciate the hard work of the teachers, and then it builds a little bit of excitement just to think about the students and what they're getting exposed to and stuff like that. So I really appreciate it, because at the end of the day, the kids are getting a great curriculum product. And so it's neat stuff. Like I said, social studies is deep into it, and then science is just getting started district-wide, so good stuff. Also, as Ms. Tolan said, conferences went very well. Also in the high school, middle school, again, that is correct to say thank you so much as the community for taking the time and coming in. The teachers, staff, administrators, we do value each conversation. We know it becomes a little trickier as the kids get older and you're getting around a lot of different teachers. And we had a really fantastic Curly Bear crunch the numbers for me. 90% of our freshmen were there, 84% of the sophomores, 68% of juniors, 56% of seniors. So that's very, very good for secondary numbers. So pretty cool. So again, thanks. And again, the teachers work hard. And one of the benefits, though, is everyone stayed super, super busy, and the nights went by really fast. Those were long days, so lots of benefits. It was great. If you were around, and there's a lot of stuff going on, and I'm Jamie Cabal, come talk about that. But the holiday decorations are going up, which is always fun. The middle schoolers decorate kind of doorways of a teacher, kind of a homeroom teacher, and then the in the high school, they do it by class, freshman, sophomore, junior, senior. So that's fun. So come around. Those will be up here, as Marissa mentioned, later this week, as they're going up now. But that's always kind of a fun festive time, and it's a little bit of a competition sponsored by our student government in the high school. And so it's fun to come out. And so if you happen to be around for the wrestling tournament or any of the other stuff that's going on, the dance troupe this weekend, feel free to wander around and check out the hallways. They are neat, and it's all student done. Very little staff input except for the guidance of, you know, breaking things or fires, all that kind of stuff. So it's going to be nice. Right, Marissa? It's going to be nice. Yes.
The freshmen took our idea.
Oh, there's always the idea stealing.
So
freshmen are getting better every
figuring
year.
Figuring it out, what we're going to do. We're pretty glad that there was an extended time.
Yeah, we did extend time. We wanted to get the best out of the student artwork. And then finally, just always a great part of the year, too, is we close the Christmas break. The high school and middle school band and choir concerts are next week, Tuesday and Thursday. So hopefully you can, anyone can make time to come out and hear the fantastic musicians perform. Any questions for me?
We could definitely also volunteer for any tasting that the culinary class.
School board tasting.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Okay. All right, next, Activities Director Jamie Cabral. Mr. Busy. Not that anybody else isn't, but holy cow.
As always, bored. I'm going to put Marissa on the spot. Marissa, you got to talk about Whale Fest.
Oh, Whale Fest was...
National Ocean Science Bowl went to Whale Fest.
We all got so sick.
Yeah, you guys are like...
It was rough.
I'm going to go on the ferry, that's why.
I lost my phone and my glasses.
Yeah. Was it fun?
Yeah. Oh, yes, it was. We learned a lot. And we got to do miniature like quiz bowls with the other teams that were there.
Yeah.
And we won three out of our four scrimmages, which was pretty cool. And not saying anything, but the one scrimmage we lost was when I wasn't with the team.
Oh, nice.
And then I think our B team won.
That's awesome.
won one out of the... the four scrimmages, and that was really cool for my team because we came back from being freshmen last year, and
yeah, you got
it was
that on
good.
The record, right, Cher? You said it.
It was in Sitka,
yeah.
And it's just we sat for the talks, which were I think each about an hour long, some a little less. And we learned about, the theme was life on the boundary. Mm-hmm. So we learned about harmful algal blooms. Mm-hmm. We learned about whale falls. We learned about glacial kind of boundaries where the life kind of thrives there. And there's so much.
Because Sitka has that fungus thing growing in the Sitka Sound over there, right?
Yeah, that happened, I think, we talked about it, and that happened like all throughout Southeast Alaska.
Yeah.
It was pretty... Yeah, I mean, kind of pretty, but and we just for Tsunami Bowl, we just on December 1st we had to submit our, you know, overview of what we learned. So then we get the college credit the half a college credit we get each year. So we did that, and then we also on December 1st turned in our research paper. Which is pretty great.
It was a pretty good one.
Yes.
Come February, it's going to be exciting.
I know.
Yeah.
It is. So we have two teams, and then the paper was, we had A team, B team. Actually, we have team names. They're just silly.
You remember the topic?
It was. The topic was community resiliency. And so we picked topics that we would think our town would be resilient, or assess the resiliency. And the B team chose a fish market crash in China and how that would affect us here as a fishing community, and we chose a tsunami, which is not likely, just so you know, you're pretty good. But if it did happen, well, No.
Perfect. Good. Yeah.
We're working on our presentations right now, and then
that's gonna be fun.
And we'll leave in.
You guys leave in a couple months.
February.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A couple months. Our tsunami. She's part of our National Ocean Science Bowl team that was over in Sitka at the Whale Fest. Pretty fun activity. I remember being there doing those all the time. So. Not much going on in activities lately. Had a little, got quiet for a second in Petersburg, but wrestling. We are hosting our wrestling regionals this weekend here in Petersburg, and it's the first of its kind. We actually have to run three separate tournaments in one location, and we have every single classification here coming this weekend. And I just was totaling all the wrestlers up because there's a deadline to turn all the wrestlers in. And so far, 188 wrestlers will be visiting us, which is more than our entire school population. So, yeah. So, it's going to be a fun-filled weekend, lots of wrestling. So if you're bored, come by the gym. I'll have something for you to do. Guaranteed. Yeah, yeah. Cheryl's going to be busy, too. So we've got about 14 teams showing up on Thursday afternoon. And we got them all over the place, and thanks to all the community places that are helping us out, too, with housing that many bodies here that weekend. And then the weekend after that, we've got our little Norway basketball tournament. Basketball and cheer has started. I don't have preliminary numbers on that yet, so we'll get some of those things going. Our volleyball team just got back from state. They finished third. They had a great showing there. They also won the Sportsmanship Award at the state tournament as well, and had some individual awards go out for those kiddos. They did great, and so they're one day off, and then straight to basketball. So it's a busy, busy time. And then once we're done with Little Norway, then we have a little break, but we'll have activities going on during that time, too, on the break time. So basketball teams will be heading down to Ketchikan during the break. And then as soon as we get back from winter break, January, we have homecoming that first weekend back. So another busy weekend right after that. So, yeah. Question? I'll make it fast. Okay.
Thank you. All right, we've got some upcoming dates and meeting announcements. December 15th is the high school music concert at 7 p.m. in the auditorium. December 17th is the middle school Christmas concert at 7 p.m. in the auditorium. On the 18th is the elementary Christmas sing-along at 9:30 in the morning. Auditorium, it's going to be fun. And then students are off from December 19th through the 31st. And looks like of course, the Christmas holiday, 24th and 25th. So no school, of course, on the 1st, but then we'll be back on the 4th. Of school will resume, and we'll be back to setting a board agenda on the 4th already. So we can also figure that out at a later time, but if anybody wants to commit tonight.
I won't be here, so.
Okay.
I can't have someone like going to the evening or Friday.
Okay. Anybody? Anybody else? Does this matter?
If we pick a time, yes.
Okay.
I just need
a reminder.
Just email it out and
need a reminder.
As yes. We get a little closer.
Yes.
Okay. I'm happy to do it with a reminder.
And then we'll have Campus Connections on the 12th.
Who would like to do that? I can do it.
I'll do it again unless someone is dying.
I think people may be getting tired of hearing us. But
probably. And then our next regular board meeting, which will be the 12th of January at 7 p.m. here. Okay. Moving on. Oh, yeah.
What about the bell ringing? Did people sign up for?
Oh, what did we figure out on the bell ringing?
It's
at the end?
Oh,
yes, okay. That's right. It is. Last thing. Okay. I forgot it. Yeah. Okay. Next, moving on to old business, 12.1, Board Policy 1332 Memorials at the second reading. I'll make a motion to approve the change in the proposed policy for memorials in paragraph 2, line 1, to memorabilia. Can I have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded. And discussion, I think.
Sure.
Yeah, you want to talk about it?
I am a member of the policy committee, so we met again to discuss the policy. And a lot of the feedback that we received regarding the memorial policy was specific to the section in the policy, which is, if you're looking at a copy of it, it's there's a big box at the top, and then it would be the second paragraph after that, and it addresses temporary memorials. And a lot of the questions that we excuse me, I have a cold, so my throat is in and out. That we just heard a lot of confusion about 2 weeks. That doesn't make sense. That's not enough time to grieve. We're putting together a memorial, and then it's removed after 2 weeks. It just was a little bit unclear. So just to clarify that paragraph and the intent of it, we kind of talked about what part is confusing and what was the intent. The intent is really specifically about those spontaneous kind of things that happen when a loss is experienced. You know, we want to do flowers and balloons or bears or things just to say, you know, here's that person's locker or their desk or their space, and we want to recognize that. And that, just that piece is what we're talking about there. So the intent really was about memorabilia, not about memorials. So I think the word memorials was confusing, since we keep the memorial policy and these memorials and those memorials. So just kind of clarifying memorabilia to be specific about those spontaneous gestures of sympathy, cards and things that might be in the school building immediately after we experience a loss. So I hope that using that word just clarifies that section, mm-hmm. which would address many of the comments that we received, confusion there. And we want to just make sure that we're addressing that feedback.
Okay. Does anybody else have any questions? This is, by passing this recommendation, does not actually pass the memorial policy. It just simply amends the language in the proposed policy so that you could then move on to the next part, which is deciding whether to pass the memorial policy. So at this point, we're only talking about changing of language.
And I think it's in red on the, if anybody has a copy out there. So it's three places where the word is changed from memorials to memorabilia.
So any questions? No? Okay. All those in favor of approving the change in of the word memorials in paragraph two, line one, to memorabilia, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes 5-0. Next, I'll make a motion to...
Oh, we
have to recess before we can do the motion?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sorry. I thought it was the other way around. Okay. I will then, we'll go ahead and recess for any public testimony related to the board policy 1332, if anybody else. So we're in recess. So if anybody else would like to have any testimony regarding the policy, this would be a great time to do it. Okay, seeing none, I will call the meeting back to order. And I will make a motion to adopt Board Policy 1332, Memorials, at second and final reading. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, motion's been made and second. Any discussion? Board members, at this time it would be if any board members have anything further to say in regards to this. I did share this morning, or I guess this afternoon, on Campus Connections, but for those of you that were unable to hear it, during that month between last board meeting and this board meeting, having being the board president, a lot of people sent emails, phone calls, texts, approached me on the street, and it was an overwhelming support for the policy, but in also great sympathy for the three families that are affected by the memorial policy. Lots of people said, we know it's a difficult subject matter, it's difficult. We can't imagine how difficult it is for the families involved of all three, but it was an overwhelming support of where we are headed. So
And of course, we did hear from different people that weren't thrilled with policy or wanted to grandfather things, but it was remarkably overwhelming in support of it. At least that was my contact or my experience. I don't know if anybody else had any different experience, but
I wanted to say also that I also received some feedback from people in the community, staff, and others who were mostly in support of as well, some not in support of, but I agree that the majority was in support of the policy. And I wanted to point out again, since I'm part of the policy committee, and we're looking at lots of policies, but this one specifically right now, being in second reading, we did meet again as a policy committee, and we were able to, and obviously we changed the memorabilia part just based on feedback we've heard. We talked about a little bit about procedure and that those kind of things because of the feedback that we've heard. And so I hope that as we move forward, we people know we're trying to be sensitive to the feedback we've heard and do what is in the best interest of our students and the community, but definitely our students.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any further comments? No? Okay. Do we need a roll call? Okay. Sharon, please call the roll.
Marley Tomsky.
I thought we were just closing public testimony.
Oh, no, sorry. This motion's been made and seconded to adopt, Board Policy 1332 at second and final reading. Sharon, please call the roll.
Okay. Marley Tomsky.
Yes.
Cheryl File.
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren.
Yes.
Megan Lister.
Yes.
Jay Lister.
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0. As a result, administration will be in contact with the three families on the memorials and at some point delivering it to the families, the three different families. So moving on to new business. We have 3.1, the 2016 grant award acceptance. Director of Finance Karen Quitzlin compiled a list of grants the district has been awarded for fiscal year 2016, and they are included for our review, which hopefully we had a chance to review those. I'll go ahead and do the motion to accept the 2016 grants totaling $458,989. Can I have a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded. Now in discussion. Erica, do you want to just do a synopsis on that?
I'll do a quick synopsis. We will be, we do have less awards this year. We're down a bit on federal grants. That would be Title I migrant, Title II professional development, and a little bit, very little on preschool 6B. And mainly that's due to free and reduced lunch numbers. So that's how that generally is figured out. Career technical is the same, and that includes our food service and, or I'm sorry, not a food service, culinary, and vo-tech, and aquaculture, I think. Suicide prevention grant, that's a grant that we've had a partnership with Petersburg Mental Health, and this is the last year of that, and we're actually making a decision about whether to move forward with writing another three-year grant for that. Healthy Living Grant, that's Ginger's grant, and that's our third year. Yeah, do you want to speak to it a little bit? Because this one is one of our more substantial losses, but there's some...
Right, so this year for the... originally, it was awarded a BC Prevention and Control Program grant through the Department of Health and Human Services, but as the state cut budgets, we went from receiving $150,000 for the grant to this year we're fortunate that they were able to funnel some federal money into it, so we're kind of like we're on a contract now with the Department of Health and Human Services under the BC Prevention and Control Program, so we received only $80,000, so it almost cut the grant in half. But we're still very excited to have the money that we do have for the grant this year, and definitely has shrunk the capabilities and the possibilities with the grant, but we're able to still continue on with supporting Girls on the Run, if there's a program in the spring in the elementary school, we've committed to that, committed to helping out Partners in Education, middle school activity, as far as, you know, we've made a budget of how much for the middle school, elementary school, and high school that we're willing to support with different activities for promoting healthy living. Working on a somewhat similar program as the Healthy Futures Challenge, Get Out and Play Every Day campaign in the elementary school at the middle school level. So we're trying to tweak one. There isn't a statewide program right now, but we're working on. I've created a document. I'm going to speak at the staff meeting in the middle school tomorrow, just to kind of highlight what, you know, talk to them saying, here's kind of what we're thinking. What are the dates we want to do? And then the prizes for that program would be purchased out of the grant money that we do have. Able to, the last water bottle filling station water fountain went in the elementary school this summer. Yay! Thanks to the maintenance and custodial staff for that. That is really nice. And we've been able to maintain purchasing filters for those water fountains, which has been really helpful, even helping out with the community gym. Working in partnership with Parks and Recreation through some various activities and helping to support some of the adult fitness classes that they have with purchasing like free weights and options to help those go, because realizing that community health is a piece of this too. And then we're working with partnership with some of the local congregations to they have written a grant, received some money to help supply some meals on the weekend for students. And so that's going really well. That's a nice partnership to have in the community. Definitely a need that we see with our students. And working on physical education curriculum and health education curriculum, which was one of the sessions I sat in on at the Wellness Institute in October. They had a phenomenal speaker come in from Ohio who had taught actually health education and taught teachers how to, you know, in the classroom and went and observed them. And she had just, boom, this is what you need. Check out this, this, this. And it was just within a three-hour time frame, it was like it really changed my mind frame on how we need to be looking at health curriculum and making a comprehensive K-12. And a little bit here and there really goes a long ways. And we do have a really nice health program in the middle school and high school, and we have health being taught at the elementary level, but it's just trying to make sure that scope and sequence is lined up. K-12, this will be a goal, and hopefully we'll receive the same kind of funding next year. That's talking with Lauren. That's the, we're crossing our fingers. But we are only one of three schools that are able, out of the original 10 grantees that are continuing on with this program and receiving money from the state. So I really want to say thank you to the board and the staff and the school district for all the support with the program, and all the quirky things we try to do. But I think there are some little things that are lasting, and that's really what we're trying to do with the grant money that we have, is to ensure that whatever we put in place can be sustainable after the grant is done. And we've done that with after-school snack program in the middle school and high school as well. We have that option. Vonda Neunecker, just her schedule got tweaked a little bit so that she's actually providing, and it's also good because it's homework busters for middle high school students, you know, and then we just have the same opportunity in the middle school while they're receiving a snack. So that's something that we've been able to do, and just little things here and there that kind of make a little bit of difference in helping support Carly Wells with the food service program. I think that's it.
We know that that's why we really did, that's why it's maintained, because of her work on it. So I want to acknowledge that. Yes, it's amazing. Kind of going down the list then, we also did unfortunately lose the Alaska Foods grant, which was really a bummer, but we've done our best to make some adjustments there, and Carly's pretty amazing with how she works with what she has. So, and then our garden project is closing out. That was a Forest Service grant. And our Title VII Indian Ed money actually increased a little bit. So, yeah, that was good. So, yeah, about $100,000 down, which is...
And did we anticipate all that?
They, yes, because they, it's kind of the federal dollars shrink, mm-hmm. too, and it's not... And so even some of the changes with the federal is not just, you know, free and reduced, but they, you know, they anticipated a, you know... They told us that it could be 4 to 8%, mm-hmm. you know, on top of other numbers. So, yeah. But we'll happily accept the ones that we have on the list.
Okay. Any questions? Okay. Motion's been made and seconded to accept the 2000. 16 fiscal year grants totaling $458,989. Sharon, can you call the roll, please?
Megan Lister?
Yes.
Jay Lister?
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren?
Yes.
Marla Tomsky?
Yes.
Cheryl File?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0. Next, we have additional options for board notifications. Right now, as most people maybe realize, we put notification for any of our meetings, since they need to be open, on KFSK and on the website and post it at the post office. But during the discussion, particularly along with a couple of our policies that we recently passed, was how come we don't use Facebook? And that's where I get my information, my local information. So I wanted to see what the board thought about doing a Facebook page specifically for the school board, where that is the sole purpose and only purpose, is another form of notification to the public. And that would be the only thing that would be posted essentially on there, would be board meeting this date with, you know, the board board backup information, or like the agenda set to it, or if we have a work session. This is our work session. It's coming up. This is the agenda. Just as another form of notification to the public here in Petersburg, but also it's another free resource, I guess, a way of notifying, since I think some other generations might be using that as their major news source. So, I don't know. What do you think?
I think it's a fine idea. I think maybe, I don't know, we'd have to talk about if we're all administrators or how that would look, because people would have the ability to post comments and things like that. We just want to make sure it's appropriate all the mm-hmm. time. So that would be my only concern mm-hmm. is that it's an informational source and not necessarily a point for people to share.
I think there is an option with Facebook that you can choose to not allow comments.
Oh, can you?
That's
okay.
How the school Facebook pages
are. Oh, is it?
Are.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Good. That's mm-hmm. my only concern. Is it?
There's settings you can do for that.
Okay. So,
well, why can't we just put it on the school's Facebook
page? Put it on the school Facebook pages too.
Okay.
Or the classifieds, Petersburg classifieds on there.
Mm-hmm. Well, we can post on there, mm-hmm. but do we create a?
I guess it maybe then becomes
page, or do we filter through whoever updates?
I think it'd probably be fine to do it on the high. Is it Petersburg Vikings? Is it for the entire school district, or is it for individual schools?
Elementary school has one, and then the high school.
Okay, but we don't have one for the district. A Facebook page for the district. Mm-mm. Okay.
I don't know why we don't, but.
That would be my only thing, is I thought, oh, well, I've got a kid in grade school, so I've liked that page, but I haven't necessarily liked the high school page, and
right.
Which one are we putting it on? I hate to muddy the waters by having even more pages for people to have to filter through. But
we can put it on both of those if that's what people want us to do.
Okay.
Yep. I mean, if people feel like that would be a place they would look, or...
So is it the principal that
well, I was thinking, make sure I would think it would be post Sharon and then Irene.
Oh, the office.
I do the elementary one.
You do the elementary one, and then who does the middle school, high school?
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, so I guess that could just be another mechanism mm-hmm. when it gets sent out to
yeah.
staff. When the email goes out to staff anyway mm-hmm. with all the board stuff, it's just one more thing that they do mm-hmm. that day.
With posting
okay.
the website.
That would be great, because I hate to create another page that we don't really need mm-hmm. if we've already got ones that would be useful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I do agree, some of the feedback in this process that we've heard is, you know, people want information to be easier to find, and so mm-hmm. we did, on the website, this post policies and things like that. We want it to be easy.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, and it was mostly some of the younger generation specifically said, I don't listen to KFSK all day, I can't, mm-hmm. because it's not on, or for whatever reason, and so... And I think it's, you know, that's kind of the point, is to make it as most open and possible for anybody to be able to find mm-hmm. out what we're up to, working on. So, okay, great. Then we'll just, from here on out, beginning maybe with our next meeting in January, it'll just go on the two Facebook pages to let the community know. Okay, great. Personnel hires. I'll make a motion to approve the employment of Melissa Moore, part-time food service aide. Can I have a second?
Second.
Okay. Motion is made and seconded. Any discussion? Happy to have her.
She's been great. She just started.
Oh, great. That's good to hear.
In the red folder has the information.
Yes, I think it's
been passed around.
It might be in the experience somewhere. Sorry. Okay. Motion is made and seconded. All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes 5-0. Next, we have I'll make a motion to approve the employment of Eric Hoff, custodian. I have a second.
I'll second.
Okay. Motion's been made and seconded. And Eric has started already, or?
He is doing some shadowing this week, I think, with Vicky.
Oh, great.
Right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. He's been great.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes 5-0. Welcome, Melissa and Eric. Next, we have our Salvation Army bell ringing. Looks like it's up for December the 12th from 1 to 2. Only two board members. Otherwise, we'd have to notify the public.
I guess you are.
I have a music. Jay probably does, too. Recite. Yes, 1:30.
Okay.
I can't do it either.
Okay, it looks like, Mara, can you do it?
I can.
Okay, it looks like we're on. I think so.
Thank you. Sorry about that.
Yep. No, that works. Okay, I'll do it, too. Mara and Sarah.
First year not doing it.
At least the ones who aren't there, we will still be supporting the kids, our school kids, in their various activities.
So 1 to 2. Okay.
Is it going to be in front of hammers or TV?
Okay, in front of hammers. That's probably good to know. I'm up in the wrong spot. Okay, I'm putting it in now. Okay. Any additional comments from board members?
I have comments.
Okay, go ahead.
As was mentioned earlier, I did say in part of the comment process as people were contacting us during the last month to talk about the policy, the idea of a memorial park or site has come up a few different times. And so I said that I would give some information, and so I hope those who had asked hear. I have a little bit of information. I did talk with Parks and Rec, and also visited the borough office, and so I'm just going to read this so that I stay on track. Like I said, there have been several mentions of a community park memorial site. I do think this is a helpful idea, so I want to share some information that I've learned on the subject. Currently, the borough Parks and Rec Department does allow for memorials for specific individuals in the form of benches at parks or along the trails. The borough has a specific procedure for these benches, which addresses available space, maintenance requirements, location, and the design of the plaque that would be on each bench. The benches are purchased by the specific party that is wanting to memorialize someone. Just for the community's information, the Parks and Rec, apparently a few years ago, got a grant, and City Creek Trail is the next trail they're looking to do some upgrades or maintenance to, and so that may be a potential place if folks were interested in the bench idea, and of course they would talk to Parks and Rec about that. But I thought that was kind of cool. They have that system already in place. And regarding a specific memorial park, some of the information I found out that I thought was important to share is that the borough currently maintains and cleans 7 parks and 3 miles of trail, which is pretty remarkable for a community our size. I think that's pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. They do have obviously a limited budget like the rest of us in these economic times. So a memorial site or park, I think, would really need to be a grassroots kind of community-led project. And an example of that is the Fisherman's Memorial, which I'm told was created by a group of citizens in the community and is now maintained by the Sons of Norway. I think this is a perfect sort of inspiration, I guess, for lack of a better word, for that type of project, for somebody who might be interested. You know, require a lot of care and creativity for that kind of thing, and I wanted for people just to kind of hear about what the options are. It didn't sound to me like the borough has necessarily a space or, the perfect place in mind, but I think for somebody who's creative and energetic, who could brainstorm and get community members together, I believe it would be a great idea. So I hope this information is helpful. Thank you for listening.
Okay. Thanks, Megan. Anyone else? Any future agenda items we need to consider in January that you haven't thought of?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't know what agenda item. When is our next work session? Do we have one planned at this time?
We should.
I thought we talked about January potentially. We had some follow-up things from our meeting with Timmy, our last work session, so...
Something there, because there were things that several of us were tasked with, I think, for January.
Me, yeah, I'm one of them.
And myself, because we'll have superintendent evaluation that we need to do in January,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that would be a work session anyway, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
There's my chance.
Okay. We'll review what our tasks were that we had come up with at our work session in October.
Yeah,
and
it was.
See what our deadlines that we had set for ourselves. And if it needs to be on for January, then we'll let Sharon or Irene know. Okay. I'll make a motion to adjourn if there's nothing else.
Second.
Okay, motion's been seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Oops, motion passes. Good evening.
This live broadcast of the Petersburg School Board meeting is brought to you by KFSK and Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, helping clients find out how to protect any valuable asset, from stamp or teacup collections to houses and boats of all sizes, and everything in between. Plenty of information from the local agents is available. Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, 772-3858.